Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Who is the speaker? The speaker is David. David the chosen. God sent the prophet Samuel down to the house of Jesse to anoint a king for Israel. Jesse had, I believe, 7 sons. He sent one of them out in the field to take care of the sheep while they were going through the ceremony of anointing a king and picking one of his sons to be the king. For no one would be interested in this lad becoming king. So before the prophet Samuel, Jesse presented his 6 prominent sons, handsome, strong, wise, mature. When the first one came before Samuel, even the prophet of God looked upon him with approval. And he said, well, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. The Lord said, Samuel, this is not the one. Well, they brought the second son, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. They brought them all in. They passed in review. And as the prophet of God looked upon each one, he said the same thing. Well, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But each time, God said no. Finally, Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the sons you have? God sent me down here to anoint a king. These all the sons you have? Jesse said, no, I've got one more. You wouldn't be interested in him, I didn't think. Well, the prophet said, we'll not sacrifice till he comes. So they sent a messenger out yonder in the fields where David was playing his guitar and watching over the sheep. They said, your father wants you down at the house. David said, well, you'll have to watch my sheep for me. So the lad stayed there and watched the sheep. And David started home, probably clothed in a piece of fur, hair leather moccasins, his hair blowing in the wind, running down the hills, through the valleys, came to the door, probably the back door, wiped his feet, came into the main room, and there all those people stood around the wall, the honored, great prophet of God, Samuel. Everybody looking mystified. And as he appeared in the door, God said, Samuel, there he is. There he is. Arise and anoint him. He's mine. God does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward countenance. Man's easy to fool, easy to deceive. God looks on the heart. There he is. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, the things that are naught, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. David the chosen, that's who's talking here. Let those that seek thee, let those that love thy salvation say, the Lord be magnified. Turn to Acts 13. I want to show you a scripture. You know, you hear people all over the religious world talking about David, the man after God's own heart. If someone asked you to turn and read that in the Scripture, could you do it? Do you even know that it's in the Scripture? Well, it is. It's in there twice. This is where it is. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Acts 13, 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. The heart of David and the heart of God were one. From the beginning to the end of his reign, one thing could never be questioned. David loved the Lord. His heart was in tune with God. David walked with God. Abraham was said to be the friend of God. David, the man after God's own heart. Who's speaking here? It'd be well for us to sit up and listen, wouldn't it? Here's the man whom God chose. Here's the man after God's own heart. Here's the man whom God exalted and honored above all men. For the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, was called the Son of David. Jerusalem, the city of God, is called the city of David. The hymn book of the church, the book of Psalms, is called the Psalms of David. The Messiah, the Scripture says, will sit on the throne of David. And the words in our text this morning, written by David about himself, are the exact words spoken in Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 9, by the Lord Jesus Christ. David is a type of Christ. You who know something about God's Word, look at verse 6, and you'll recognize this Scripture being from Hebrews 10, 5 through 9. These are the words of Christ. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened or digged. Burnt offering, sin offering, hast thou not required? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. That's Christ. Yes, sir, it would be well for us to sit at the feet of this man and learn to preach. Learn what to preach. Listen to him as he preached. And then go forth with him to cry, the Lord be magnified. What did he preach? Well, look at verse 9. I have preached. Here's the sum of his message in verse 9 and 10. I have preached five things. Underscore them mentally, if not actually. I have preached righteousness. Righteousness. Verse 10. I have declared thy faithfulness. I have preached, verse 10, thy salvation. Verse 10, I have not concealed thy loving kindness. I have not hid thy truth. There are the five points of David's message. Righteousness, faithfulness, thy salvation, thy loving kindness, and thy truth. Now, let's look at them one at a time. First of all, David said, I have preached thy righteousness. What does this mean? Well, God is holy, we know that. God is holy. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up on a throne. The smoke filled the temple, his presence the house. The cherubims and seraphims cried, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And the post of the temple moved. And I cried, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God is light, in Him is no darkness. God is righteous, and this we will preach. But this is not what David's talking about. When he says, I have preached righteousness, I have not hid thy righteousness, he's not talking about God's immaculate, infinite, unchangeable, righteous character. Well, God's law is righteous. The law is perfect. The law demands perfect love, perfect obedience, perfect righteousness, inwardly, outwardly, in action, in attitude. And this we will preach. For this law is necessary to reveal the failure of my righteousness. Paul said, I would not have known sin had not the law said, thou shalt not covet. But this is not what David means. David's not talking about preaching the righteousness of the law. God's kingdom is a righteous kingdom. Over here in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, the scripture says in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, the righteousness, the holiness of that kingdom that is to come. But that's not what David's talking about. I have preached thy righteousness. Well, what is he talking about? Well, let me give you three scriptures that will reveal what David is preaching here and what we must preach. Turn to Romans 10. Now, this will help you if you'll look at it with me. David said, I have preached thy righteousness, thy righteousness. In Romans 10, verse 1, Paul is writing here, and he says, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel, for my brethren, for my people, for my kinfolk, is that they might be saved, they might know God, that they might be delivered from error, from tradition, from custom, and brought into a knowledge of the living God. I bear them record. I know them. He says they have a zeal of God. They speak the name of God. They keep the ceremonies and ordinances of God. They go about with a religious air. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not based on a knowledge of the living God. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. Oh, here's what David's preaching. God's righteousness. He said, I have declared thy righteousness, God's righteousness. And Paul, talking about Israel, said, they're ignorant of God's righteousness. It needs to be preached because they don't know what it is. Well, they know God's holy, then that's not it. They know the law is holy, then that's not it. They know the kingdom that is to come is holy, they know that, but that's not it. What are they ignorant of? God's righteousness. Now read on. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto God's righteousness, the righteousness of God. Look at the next verse. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is God's righteousness. That's why He came down here to this earth. Christ, the Son of God, very God of very God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, by whom all things were made, came down here to this earth, robed in human flesh. God's Son was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a woman, born under the law. And in the flesh, He obeyed the law. He obeyed the civil law, the ceremonial law, the judicial law, the moral law, the law of the home, the law of nature. Every law of God He obeyed perfectly. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. He told John the Baptist, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness. Christ is God's righteousness. Christ is the revelation of God's righteousness, the manifestation of God's righteousness, the embodiment of God's righteousness. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to this. Christ is God's righteousness. We're not standing up here this morning to preach my righteousness, which is what? Filthy rags. Yours, which is filthy rags. We're not up here just to declare unto you the righteousness of the law. That would not be good news. That would only put us in a state of spiritual depression. But we're here to declare the good news of God's righteousness, which is, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in Him. Christ is my representative. Christ is my surety. Christ is my federal head. Christ is the one who's identified with me. And as the God-man, He came down here in this world and took my place before the law. And because of His obedience, He imputed to me a perfect, He reckoned to me a perfect, He charged to my account a perfect righteousness. That's God's righteousness. Turn to Philippians 3. Here's the third scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. You know, preachers stand in the pulpit today. They don't teach the Word of God. They don't preach the righteousness of God. The average preacher just stands up and says something religious and tells people to believe on Jesus. Here's my question. Believe what about Jesus? Who is He? What did He do? Where did He come from? Why did He do it? Where is He now? What's He going to do later? Tell me about Him, and then I'll make up my mind whether I want to believe on Him. But don't just say, believe on Jesus. Tell me who He is and what He did and why I should believe on Him. Look at Philippians 3. Paul talked about his religious background. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was a moral man. He was a law-abiding man. But he said, I count all these things but dung. I count them as worthless, worthless material to be thrown on the scrap heap. Look at verse 9. That I might win Christ, verse 9 now, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law and which is no good, which is shot full of holes, which is shabby, which is filthy rag, which is of no account in God's presence, that I might be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, through the obedience of Christ, through the work of Christ. The righteousness which is of God. That's what I need. That's what I need. Now, my friends, that's the righteousness of God which we preach. Which we preach. It is the righteousness of God in Christ. It is a representation of Christ. It is a redemptive work of Christ. It is a sanctifying work of Christ. It is the person of Christ. That's the good news of the righteousness of God. That's where it is. That's where it's found. Not here. Not here, and not here, and not here, and not in the customs and traditions of men, and not in the vows and decisions and resolutions and reformation of men. It's found in a person, all right, but that person is Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the righteousness of God. All right, turn back to Psalm 40. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified in righteousness. The Lord be magnified. All right, look at the second thing He preached. I preach thy faithfulness. I preach thy faithfulness. You know what this is? What's He talking about here? faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Dependability, loyalty, perseverance. He's talking about God's immutability. That is, God changes not. The Scripture says, I am the Lord, I change not. The gifts and callings of God are without change. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay all around me I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. These flowers brought out here yesterday, beautiful, fresh, fragrant. Tomorrow, they won't be very pretty. The next day, they won't be pretty at all. The next day, they'll be withered and brown and dead. That's everything that I know anything about, just like that. My flesh, my family, my friends, our organizations, everything is just like that. Oh, they last a little longer than a day, maybe a year, maybe a decade, maybe a half a century, but at the longest, 70, and then they'll be gone. That's what the songwriter meant. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away, change and decay all around me I see. O thou that changest not, of this I am sure. Nothing about God changes. Nothing. Turn to Isaiah 46. Listen to the word of God. Our God will remain unchangeable in executing all His purposes, all His decrees, and all His counsels. Now, when this, you say, preacher, occasionally the Bible talks about it repented God that He made man. Moses prayed that God would repent of the evil which He, and the wrath which He determined to do. When the Scriptures speak of God repenting or changing or seeming to alter His purpose, the Scriptures speak in the language of men and show it as it seems to be. As it seems to be. Because God intended it to be as it was and as it was done. Hezekiah was given 15 additional years in the language of men, but from all eternity, that's how many years he had. Look at Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old? I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. Verse 10, Isaiah 46. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. The God of man's imagination is like unto himself. That's what Scripture says. You thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. The God of the Bible is only like himself. He never changes. He says, my counsel shall stand. I will do my pleasure. My purposes never alter. I am the Lord, I change not. Be faithful. Our God will remain faithful in every promise, every prophecy, every type concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or one tittle or one promise or one prophecy shall pass away till it all be fulfilled. Christ came according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended to the right hand of the Father according to the Scriptures, and He'll come again according to the Scriptures. They will not change. Our God does not change. And then our God will remain faithful in all His promises to the believer. He says all things. And sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? All things. And sometimes we are blue and discouraged, but all things. And sometimes God takes a long time getting it done, but all things. And sometimes it's darkest just before the morning, but all things work together for good to them that love God. That's so. That cannot be altered. Our God does not change. I have preached thy faithfulness. I care not how dark it gets. I care not how rocky the road gets. I care not how lonely the journey gets. All things work together for good to them who love God. He said, I'll never leave thee. It may seem like it. I'll never forsake thee. The heavens may be brass. O Lord, David said, how long am I going to pray and you not hear me? God heard him. God heard him. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not. I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, 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 never forsake. David said, I've preached thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness. And then the third thing, look at Psalm 40 again. I have preached thy salvation. Now you listen carefully right here. I have preached thy salvation. Now here is the foundation of every bit of it. David rightly calls this thing of redemption, of eternal life, of passing from death unto life, of knowing the living God, of true religion. He calls it thy salvation. Now you call it what you will. You can call it your experience or your decision or your commitment. David calls it God's salvation. I show you that in several places. Turn to Psalm 51. Look at it with me. You know, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Here in Psalm 51, verse 12, David prays, restore unto me the joy of whose salvation? Thy salvation. Why does he call it thy salvation? His soul is the one that was saved. God didn't save himself. He saved David. God never was lost. David was lost. God never was in the horrible pit. You lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. David called it thy salvation because God did it. David didn't lift himself. God lifted him. David didn't choose God. God chose him. David didn't seek God. God sought him. David didn't cleanse himself, God cleansed him. It's thy salvation. It's of the Lord in its origin. Salvation was not decreed in the